Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Broncos, Denver's sports station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, so good, so good. I love this.
It's a great way to start a Friday, Mike.
Great way.
The best.
Start a Friday.
The best. I can't think of a better way.
Ooh.
It always makes me happy. Always makes me happy. Happy to be at the end of the week. Happy to be here with you on the radio. Happy to be talking to the fans at Denver. And really happy that that this is playing because it just warms my heart. Go ahead, Benny. Let this thing break.
Come and go.
Oh, yes, as we sail into a weekend and a potentially stress-free weekend, as one of our great texters, Foulmouth Daryl, puts it so eloquently to kick off an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend. It can be about anything and everything. As Foulmouth Daryl just sent to us, he says, is it just me, or are we all going to sail into the holiday weekend without a worry on our minds thanks to the bye week?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean,
I think the bye week is coming at an excellent time for Broncos country. I really do. I really, really do.
I completely agree with you. So, it's good to, it's good to get a weekend off, right? It's just good, but a weekend away from frustration, you know, enjoy your family. And just enjoy the rest of the games that are on. You know, maybe take in some good football. Maybe just clean up leaves in your yard. Who knows? I mean, there's plenty of different activities you can partake in.
I'm curious. I want to throw this out real fast. Quick little sampling from our great 6 a.m. listeners, the best of the bunch here on The Fan by bar none. Is are you going to watch football on Sunday, or are you going to make this a football-free zone on Sunday? You're going to use the opportunity to get ready for Thanksgiving, get some things done, cross some things off that to-do list, or will you still hunker down and watch NFL football? And if you do, I warn you, because you may become even more depressed, because if you get a chance to watch good football, then it may be a case of just driving you further into depression.
Yeah, it could. I don't know. I mean, it is one of those, hey, it's a tale as old as time. You know, it's one of those things that, that people that, you know, that follow the teams like the Bengals or the Jets or some of those, bottom dwellers, this is a dilemma they have every year come bye week time. So, anyhow, we'll see what happens. By the way, I almost missed the open of the show.
Oh, yeah, you're in Philadelphia. That's right. You're calling Eagles and Saints. So why'd you almost miss the start of the... What, were you out running this morning? Were you, like, running through the streets of Philadelphia after drinking a glass of raw eggs or what? What's the deal?
No. I took a shower because I'm going to have to get out of here. And so I wanted to be clean before my meetings with the Eagles. And so it's just one of those things, you know, sometimes... You get in the shower, it's an unfamiliar territory, you're not sure where to put the temperature, and it's kind of, it was too cold, it's too hot, and then the little tray is tilted down, so every time I put the soap on the little tray, it slid back down onto the floor, and then I'm like, it was a disjointed shower, so I am drip drying butt naked sit in my room here.
No.
And I mean, I'm like, I didn't even dry off my hair. I just sprinted over here and sat on this towel, on the chair. And so that's where I am right now in my life because this shower was not as enjoyable as a morning shower should be.
Okay, folks, there you go. There's the image that is, seared indelibly into your brain for the entire day. Mark Schlereth naked right now, air drying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, air drying. And is
I like that.
Yes, yeah, Shelby. I don't blame you, buddy.
That's right.
I do not blame. Way not to hate, buddy. Way not to hate.
Okay.
Yeah, my hair is dripping on the desk. I got drip. Oh, yeah, it's
settle down just a little bit.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah. All righty. Here we go. Is it just me, or does Teddy Bridgewater need to take tackling lessons from Mac Jones?
Wow. I knew as soon as that happened last night, I was like, here, and I go, and let the I don't know what the right word is, but just let it begin in 3, 2, 1 on social
Release
media, right?
Release the hounds.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let the ridicule begin in 3, 2, 1, go. Absolutely. And that's, hey man, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, he hunkered down and
I mean, it wasn't
an
pretty.
Interception and
right. You know, go same foot, same shoulder, you know, pile drive a guy. You know, you just get in his way and let him run over you. Like that's kind of just the rule of tackling when you're a quarterback.
Okay. But, and I'm just, you know darn well, had he got hurt on that play, separated a shoulder or something, people would have been screaming, you're a rookie quarterback, you're the future of the team, you can't be putting yourself in harm's way like that. You know that would have been the dialogue.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's dumb people that would give that dialogue. He didn't go over there, like it's different between going over there and you know, trying to pile drive a dude and hit him with your head or what. He went over there and just got run over. Like, there's a different, like if he'd have driven his shoulder into a guy, yes. It's like when you're a quarterback down around the goal line, you put your head down and you try to, like Daniel Jones did and got a concussion. Come on, dude. Like, I guess when you're trying to score. I don't know. It's a crazy juxtaposition, but it wasn't like he went over there like, you know, like he was the boss. He just went over there and got in the way.
Yeah, he ended up like a little bit of a cockroach when it was all said and done. He actually looked a little like Von Miller. Oh boy, Von's gonna have a hard time living that one down for a while. You know when that one got shown on the film in front of the team, there was some razzing there, I bet, huh?
I'm sure. And the good news is that who had the interception? Who returned the interception? I can't even remember, but at least he had a nice, soft, squishy landing.
He did, because he landed on Squishy Mac, so he had a nice, soft, squishy. It was like, ooh, I could just lay here for a little while.
He was like, what?
And take a little nap here, you know?
Yeah, what is this? One of these airbeds? what is this thing? Right.
What is my sleep number? Yes. Okay, one more here on the Rumelslaw.com text line. I don't know what image is more disturbing in my mind, the idea of Mark Schlereth naked or thinking of watching Paxton Lynch play. Okay. First segment on a Friday. Now we can really relax. What is the number there? 2365. Day number 2365 of the Paxton Lynch smear campaign. All right, we're off and rolling on Is It Just Me Friday. Never too early to get loose as images of Mark air drying naked fill our brains. Not quite like the holiday things that we think about. This is not visions of sugar plums dancing in our head. Much different things dancing in our heads. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth. So regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
When last we left you, Mark was in the process of air drying in Philadelphia. Are we all dry?
Yeah, I air dried, so I didn't need to towel dry. And then I like to dress in stages. I don't want to get fully dressed right off the bat. So, you know, you put on your underpants and then a t-shirt. Then eventually I'll put on a sweatshirt and then I'll put on a pair of pants, but that won't be till later.
Oh, no. Then pants free for quite some time now.
Yeah, for quite some time. And then eventually I'll put on some socks and some shoes and I'll be ready to go out the door. But I'm not rushing right into being fully clothed.
Well,
heavens to Murgatroyd.
Well,
why would I do that?
I never thought the idea of air drying would appeal to anybody, but I was wrong. This one comes in from Army Ranger Ed. who says, gentlemen, you help my wife perk up better than Folgers at the idea of Mark air drying. She loves his Alaskan pearly white porcelain skin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Army Ranger Ed, you're welcome.
Yeah, Army Ranger Ed. Good for you. I hope you got a pack of heaters.
Lando in Longmont, is it just me or is Mac Jones looking like he would have been the better pick over Pat Surtain? Also, now we're on the Mac Jones hindsight tour, huh? I don't remember a whole lot of Mac Jones talk the night of the draft.
Yeah, I was, you know, it's funny. I was reading something. I don't remember where I was reading it from, but it was like, man, how fortunate are the Patriots? They were forced to take Mac Jones. Like he was the one guy that nobody wanted, right? And then the Patriots, although I don't think the Patriots were forced to take him. I think they were hoping that he would drop, but they didn't go up and get him now. No. So, which means they would have been fine if he was not there at their pick. They would have gone in a different direction. So, you know, let's not sit there and, you know, and bow to the superior knowledge of Bill Belichick and his staff. Cause if they really liked him, they'd have gone up and got him. Unless, you know, you're just reading the tea leaves, but I mean, a lot of people speculated that the Broncos would take, you know, take a quarterback at number 9. So I don't know, you know, I mean, whatever. I guess they knew that he would fall or they expected he would fall. But listen, when every other guy is gone, if you really like him, you move up 3 or 4 spots and you grab him.
Yeah, but again, it's the revisionist history that always cracks me up in these situations. And listening to my man D-Mac yesterday, man, he's good. He's good. He's really, I mean, he's excellent at this. He's slippery. He's oily. You know, it's like when he was, wearing that wetsuit the other week, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That he posed in. It's like, imagine trying to wrestle him while wearing that wetsuit.
Do you have to cut that wetsuit off or can he actually get out of it?
You just slide right out of your hands, you know? You just can't get a good grip on him. I give him credit because yesterday he's like, well, you know, George Payton just blew it last year because he didn't take a quarterback. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm listening. I'm like, whoa, whoa. Even in my car, I went, whoa, 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 whoa. What? What do you mean a quarterback? He's like, and then he kept going. He's like, yeah, you know, he could have taken Justin Fields or Mac Jones. I'm like, what? Now I'm screaming in my car. Like, cause you never, not once, ever, on draft night, ever talked about, well, hey, this is great. They're picking here at number 9. They can get Justin Fields or Mac Jones. Nope. Right. It was all Justin Fields. In fact, when they passed on Justin Fields, then the next couple of teams, well, this is where Justin Fields is going to go. It was all Justin Fields. But now, just over the last couple of weeks, because Mac Jones is coming on so strong, now it's like, well, we could have had Mac Jones too. I told you they should have taken Mac Jones.
Right.
It's that kind of it's this revisionist history BS that just I give him credit, but man, it ticks me off because it's so disingenuous. It's not what he was saying. All right, I had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, man, you know, you get a little bit frustrated, and no, I understand your positioning there, Mike.
It's just
it's gonna be okay.
It's the same thing with while I was telling everybody that they should have taken Josh Allen. No, you weren't. Two days before the draft, you were all over Josh Rosen.
Right. Oh, by the way, how about Josh Rosen's night last night? Can we just... Hey, you know what? D-Mac may get his wish. I think Josh Rosen will be available for the Broncos. I mean, he may get one of those Hall of Fame top 10 draft picks.
Right.
Congratulations. Hey. Oh, that guy should just... You know what? You should just admit that it's over. That it was over before it began. You didn't really want to do this, right? You really didn't want to do it.
I love this. You, as a professional athlete, you just know that some guys in pro sports carry themselves in such a way that everybody respects them, teammates and opponents alike. I got this story handed over to me. This comes out of Wheelhouse Hockey.
Okay.
And you remember the height of the Avalanche Red Wing rivalry, right?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
I mean, it was just.
It was the best.
It was the best. Seriously, I've never seen a rivalry like it. Just genuine hatred, yet in the backdrop, wonderful hockey. Just, it had everything. Anyway, so this is Brendan Shanahan talking about Joe Sakic. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan says, I remember when I was in Detroit, Sean Avery stood up as Joe Sakic was skating by our bench. Now, Sean was a young, enthusiastic player who was well-liked by us old guys and, as you might know, was known for trash-talking. But when he stood up and yelled, "Hey, Sakic," Brett Hull grabbed him by the back of his sweater, yanked him down on the bench, and then he said, and I'll never forget this, "You are not allowed to speak to Mr. Sakic." And then Sean looked down the bench at the rest of the boys, and we all just sort of nodded. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. You are not allowed to speak to Mr. Sakic.
That gave me chills.
Right?
You are not allowed to speak
That's
to Mr.
That's at the heart of a rivalry.
Right.
That was intense as anything
story.
This sport's ever seen. And even at that moment, the veteran player's like, no. You do not speak to him.
Right.
That's cool. That is cool.
Is there anybody on the Broncos that has...
You will not speak to Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anybody that has that kind of gravitas?
No.
Like that, I feel that way, like obviously when Peyton was playing or even DeMarcus Ware. Like there was so much mutual, you know, from league-wide respect that, you know, there's just things you just don't do. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, tugging on Superman's cape, right? I mean, there's certain things you just don't do. And trash talking Joe Sakic apparently was one of those.
That was good. I like that.
That's a really great story.
All right. We got the Morning Brew coming your way. Whew, is there any way to, excuse what happened to the Nuggets last night at home against a depleted Philly squad? That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. It's some serious gourmet
Let's get it on.
Well, as you mentioned, I mean, Nikola goes for a 30 on 10 of 17. Will gets 19 on very efficient 7 of 14, 3 of 6 from 3. Then we got a couple other guys. You know, Aaron struggled to make shots tonight, 4 of 13. Monte, 5 of 13. And then our bench, obviously, was, I think we had 20 points off of our bench, and we struggled to make shots as a bench unit.
Yeah, after... listening to all that, can you blame Michael Malone for getting tossed in this game? He didn't want to watch it either.
He wanted to go to the locker room.
You know what? I think I'll just sit the rest of this one out. You know,
I need some time off.
Yeah. So this is not our night, man. How do you explain that one? A Nuggets team that lost the other night in Dallas, so you think want to bounce back? Taking on a Philadelphia team that was without Joel Embiid. They're going through the Ben Simmons saga, missing a couple other regulars, had lost 5 in a row. And yet they come in here and absolutely punk the Nuggets, 103-89. How do you explain a loss like that?
You don't. I mean, it's just one of those. NBA is weird that way. It's just shots aren't knocked. You're not knocking down shots. You don't have a couple of your guys. And. You know, I mean, we talked about Jeff Green, you and I off air. Like, the guy plays 23 minutes and doesn't score a bucket. I mean,
Jeff Green's line, who was brought in here with the idea that he's going to bolster the bench, right? Or in this case, get a chance to start. He's going to be Paul Millsap's replacement. Suddenly I'm missing Paul Millsap, which I never thought was possible. Jeff Green played 23 minutes. Folks, he did not attempt a shot. He did not attempt a shot. He did not take a free throw. He had one rebound. That's the extent of his box score. One rebound. He was one rebound away from having donuts all the way across. It would have been, as Zach Bye would have called it, a bagel box score.
By the way.
He doesn't say bagel. He says bagel.
I know. Bagel. If he played the whole 48 minutes, he would have just over 2 rebounds.
He was on pace for 2 rebounds. If he only played a full game, yeah.
Right, which is, I'm telling you what, they're hard to come by, Mike.
They are hard to come by. Whew. All right, hey, you know what? That's the NBA. There are going to be nights like that you just have to pass off as that's the NBA. You just for whatever reason, you just don't show up. It's just not there. And even your coach, after some point, goes, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to get run. Two T's. See ya. Next on the Morning Brew.
Shohei shooting one out to left field. Has some carry. D. Gordon moving back near the wall. Gone.
Yes!
Big fly, Ohtani-san. 1-0 Halos.
Dick shot. MVP awards handed out in Major League Baseball. Bryce Harper wins the National League MVP, second one of his career. Shohei Ohtani unanimously crowned the American League MVP. Wow, what a year. I'm somebody that believes that the most valuable player should go to somebody who's on at least a competitive team.
Right.
Which the Angels were not. But my goodness, what this guy did as a two-way player, hitting and pitching, was just phenomenal. He hit 46 home runs, okay? And mm-hmm. then made 23 starts as a pitcher.
Yeah, incredible, right? I mean, it's just absolutely insane that you can... And I just didn't, you know, when he came over, I just didn't think that would ever, you're going to have to pick one.
Right.
That was my thought process.
Right.
I think everybody thought that.
Yeah.
And here he is going, nah, actually, I don't have to pick one. I can do both. Like, okay, more power to you. Amazing. Unanimous. I don't know how many unanimous decisions there have been over the course of the baseball, you know, the time the baseball has been played, but. I'm sure it's only a handful of them, Mike.
All right, so the guy as a hitter had 537 at-bats, hit 46 home runs, drove in 100, all right, and did that as a hitter. Then, as a pitcher, went out and threw 130 innings, 9-2, with 156 Ks to only 44 walks. Incredible.
It's amazing.
Incredible.
He is fun to watch. That dude is fun to watch. And when he connects at the dish, dude, that dude launches balls. Just launches them.
You know, plus he just does everything with a smile. Like when he was here for the home run derby, incredible pressure on him and everything like that. Uh-huh. And he didn't have a great home run derby, but he was smiling the whole time and gracious. Uh-huh. Great story for baseball. Okay, next on the Morning Brew.
He's a big challenge. I thought our players did a good job. They had good awareness. I mean, I thought, you know, Bentley and Hightower, Phillips and Kyle Duggar, you know, those guys had some good awareness. He's a tough guy to handle. He's got a really good skill set. He's a great player. And, you know, he's got a good quarterback and get him the balls. Glad we don't have to play him every week.
Man, I don't think I've ever heard Bill Belichick happier.
The most excitement you've ever heard in his voice.
Man, here come the Patriots. Seriously, that's it? That's the only time down they had to serve? I'm sure, like, people in Buffalo are like, what? Come on. Chop, please.
Right.
This was supposed to be our division for, like, the next 10 or 15 years. You're telling me they're back after, like, 1 year off?
Gosh, right? They went on a two-decade run. They ran through you guys like poop through a goose, and then you thought they'd have one of those Miami Dolphins, like, after Dan Marino retires and you can't find a quarterback, right?
Right.
Or what's going on in Denver right now? they get 1 year off?
No, they're 7-4 now. They won last night, and they've won 5 in a row in their last 3 games. They've outscored their opponents. Let me see if I can do the math here. We're so good at math here.
Yes,
would be 94-13. They've outscored opponents in the last 3 games. Squishy Mac. Not putting up the hugest numbers, but boy, he looked the part out there.
He looks the part, man. He's getting it done.
All right. Next on the Morning Brew.
We lost 6 games in a row with a bye week stuck in between. So the only way to get back to it is say, okay, why is this going on? It's no one's fault other than everybody's. And now we pick the pieces up, and we get a chance to play a great football team that's really well coached at home. And what are we going to do about it?
Oh, Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Throwing out the charge here.
Yeah, it's kind of like pushing your chips, like Jim Fossil pushing his chips into the middle, right? Here we go.
So we've got NFL Sunday coming up without the Broncos. Mark will be calling Philadelphia and New Orleans. Try to find that game if you can. But other than that, what's the matchup that we should be looking for? I guess it's just Cowboys-Chiefs, right?
Yeah, Cowboys, Chiefs. I think you got the woofed heading back to Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Where Ron Rivera, who was the former coach of the Wolf,
yeah,
or the Panthers, and Cam Newton's there. So that's kind of a little reunion rivalry thing that's going on there.
Who wins the Cowboys Chiefs game?
I'm going to say the Chiefs. Are you going Cowboys?
It's just that line to me is a little stinky. The Chiefs are only a 2.5-point favorite.
Right.
It's a little stinky. Yeah. Little stinky to me. Well, something's rotten in Denmark.
That's because they know, the Sharps know, that the Cowboys, the Chiefs, haven't got a hold of Vic Fangio's defensive game plan yet.
The Sharps would know that.
They would know that.
That's true, because if the Chiefs had Vic Fangio's Dallas game plan, the Chiefs would be at least favored by 10.
Right. Right.
Oh,
but they don't have
it
yet. They've destroyed the film. Nobody can see it.
Nobody can see it.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows the intricacies of that and how, Kellen Moore is no longer a candidate to be a head coach because of Vic Fangio.
Right.
You write him off the list, I suppose.
Right. That's such a waste that the rest of the NFL doesn't get to reap the benefits of the evil genius, you know?
Right, right.
Wow.
But now, if there's a huge swing in the spread, like in the next couple of days, then you know what happened.
Somebody got a hold of the game plan. Got a hold of the game plan. All right. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It is and Is It Just Me Friday, where, of course, we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest and hopefully get loose. We'll do that next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. All right, Is It Just Me Friday? Let's jump into it. From Will in Thornton, who says, I made an attempt to watch the Patriots game last night, and it was 13-0 towards the end of the third when I tuned in. And as soon as the Falcons get the ball back, the Pats defense records 2 sacks and an interception, and all I can think to myself is, I wish the Broncos had a coach with half the brain of Bill Belichick. Needless to say, I immediately changed the channel because it made me even more disgusted with our organizational situation. So I should probably stay away from football this weekend, or I don't call into work Monday. Is it just me, or are the Broncos headed to NFL purgatory?
Oh, they've been there for a while, haven't they?
Yeah.
We always say it's players, right? You got to have players, and players are first, but coaching is so important. It's so important, Mike. And we obviously haven't had good enough coaching. That's just fact. You can't argue that. We just haven't had good enough coaching. And, I think it's a combination of everything. We haven't had good enough players. We haven't had good enough coaching. So that's kind of where we sit right now. And I tell you, the thing that – I guess the purgatory part of the thing that drives you crazy is it doesn't feel like they've made the requisite changes. They've recognized it, right? Like I go back to what Steve Keim did, and he put his neck on the line, but he drafted Josh Rosen, he hired Steve Wilkes, they came in for 1 year, and he went, wow, what a mistake I made, blow them both out, and go after Kyler Murray and somebody that could coach Kyler Murray, somebody that understood the kind of offense that Kyler Murray could thrive in, and he made those changes. Now that doesn't work, and you automatically get fired and probably never work in the league again. But we just keep sitting waiting for something to change. Like if we just kind of hang around long enough, maybe we'll figure it out. And just it feels like a lack of being proactive. That's what it feels like.
The good news is, though, is that coming up you have at least the opportunity to break out of that purgatory, because there are such massive changes coming here for the Broncos. I just don't think people yet have been able to wrap, and maybe I'm guilty of it as well, but wrap my mind around just the idea that you're going to have new ownership here in place and what that means and the kind of person or people that it takes to be able to step up and buy an NFL franchise these days, what that represents. The potential, the opportunity, it's very exciting. Now you hope you get the right kind of owner, and you don't get a Daniel Snyder type. But, boy, if you get the right kind of ownership, there's no reason why the overall mood that surrounds all of this can't change immediately. And this purgatory that you're talking about is replaced by a real sense of rebirth and a fresh start and real excitement of to where this thing is going. But
yeah, I mean,
but that's still a few months away. But the good news is it is coming.
Right.
And I choose to look at it as being really, really enthusiastic about it.
Well, I think that part's exciting, but I think the thing that bothers, I think it bothers everybody, is it just feels like, because nothing has been done, it feels like there's just a lack of accountability.
I tie that into what's coming. I think we're in a holding pattern right now because of these huge mm-hmm. changes that are coming.
Right.
And in order to get to the enthusiasm and excitement and untapped potential that I was just talking about, I think the downside of that is you do have to kind of live through and patiently wait and go through this.
Yeah, I guess that you want, I want accountability. And I don't want to sound, well, I don't really care, but I really don't want to sound like the old dude, right? But there are things, there are principles in life that don't go in and out of style. Just because, you know, a younger generation goes, oh, you guys are old or whatever. Like, accountability will never go in and out of style. Are you accountable? Are you accountable as a franchise? Are you accountable as a head coach? Are you accountable as a play caller? Are you accountable as a special teams coach? Are you accountable as a player, as a team captain? Like, what was the punishment for Cortland Sutton just quitting on a play that was an interception in a game? Like, what's the accountability toward Teddy Bridgewater deciding not to be involved in a tackle when we just saw a rookie quarterback, you know, throw a pick last night and go over there and get a tackle? Like, what's the accountability of a head coach who has 7 of 13 home games in the last 2 years have been double-digit blowouts? It's the accountability of just not showing up and not being prepared to play. Like, at what point, from a fan base standpoint, at what point as an organization do you go, this is not good enough, and a head is going to roll?
I get that. But I go back to what I just said. I think you're
right.
Looking at a franchise that right now is, to be polite, is in a holding pattern. To be unkind is just paralyzed right now. And here's what I hope is the silver lining, the brightness shining through the clouds, is that when these massive changes occur here in the next few months, if we're still coming away with a sense that there's no accountability being preached by the new owners, then I think you can really hang your head and be frustrated and be worried. But I just think we're going to see a totally new approach, a new message, and everything that we're going through right now, honestly, I just think that by the time we get to February and March, it's going to feel like a distant memory. I really do. And maybe I'm being Pollyannish and I'm just being overly optimistic and enthusiastic about what the potential of these new owners can bring, but that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you hope. I think the fan base would just feel a lot better.
But you know that's temporary, though. I'll tell you what. Let's continue this conversation,
right.
and we'll do it on the other side. Plus, it's an Is It Just Me Friday. Give us your hot takes that you want to get off your chest, heading off into this week, and we'll do that next. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.